Be with us, O Lord, and may your word be in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. Amen. Deep under the countryside, on the border between France and Switzerland, is a perfectly circular tunnel. It's a concrete-lined tunnel. It's about 12 feet wide and about 17 miles in diameter. And in this tunnel is one of the most complicated and certainly one of the most expensive scientific experiments that man has ever made. The purpose of this experiment, you may have heard of it, it's called the Large Hadron Collider, is to allow physicists to prove or disprove the existence of something called the Higgs boson, an elementary particle. If the Higgs boson exists, all will be well in the world of physics. And if it doesn't, much of the last 50 years of physical thinking is going to come crashing down. These are exciting times indeed, at least for physicists. But here's the strange thing about this whole enterprise. The existence of the Higgs boson was first postulated in 1964. And over the past 47 years, nobody really has come up with a reason why the Higgs shouldn't exist. And beyond that, there have been other experiments predicted by this theory that have already verified that turned out to be true. The clever money in the physics community is on the Higgs existing. But this all begs the question, well, if everyone's that certain it already exists, why do we need to go and spend $5 billion proving it? Do these people have no faith? Of course, in our modern scientific world, asking a question like that seems faintly ludicrous. Faith. What's faith got to do with it? We deal, in our world, in verifiable facts, data, number, evidence, proof. Our default mindset is one of, I'll believe it when I see it. We are indeed a society of doubting Thomases. Poor old Thomas. I feel sorry for him. Here's a man who was chosen by Jesus to be an apostle. Here is a man who went through everything that being that apostle entailed. Here is a man who, along with the rest of the disciples, had to deal with the horror of Christ's crucifixion. Here's a man in later life, we believe, left the Holy Land and journeyed to India to establish the first Christian church there. By any yardstick, Thomas was a great man. But what do we remember him for? Doubting. Doubting for just a few days until he had his proof. The same proof, by the way, that Jesus gave the other disciples the week earlier. He wanted his proof of the resurrection. Yes, I mean, he made a mistake. We all make mistakes. And we all have our doubts. We're not alone. It's tempting to put the early Christians on a pedestal as we read the sweeping narrative of the Acts of the Apostles or the stirring language of the epistles, it's easy to imagine that the earliest Christians, Thomas aside for those few days, were drawn to faith, to discipleship, had few doubts, and strong faith. They were, after all, very close in both time and in space to the events of Jesus' life, his death, and resurrection. They had their evidence. But if you read closely, you see a different picture. Doubt pervades. Doubt is part of the ongoing story. In today's reading from Acts, we have Peter exhorting the crowd to cast aside their doubts, invoking the words of the prophet David to make the point that this Jesus God raised up. Now, this is not Peter in front of a crowd of people who are new to the story of Jesus. These are people who undoubtedly had heard of Jesus, may have heard Jesus, may have witnessed some of the works that he did. And many probably wanted to believe that, yes, this Jesus was the Messiah that the prophets had foretold. And many of them, through the preaching and through the miracles, had their evidence. The problem was this. As Jesus' ministry unfolded, it started to become clear that some kind of showdown with the Roman authorities was inevitable. Later on, it becomes very clear that the Romans want him killed. The events that take place, the events that we followed last week, probably actually came as no surprise. But what was surprising to many early believers was that nothing happened to stop it. Why would the Son of God allow things to go through to such a human conclusion? These people, however much they wanted to believe, had an all too understandably hard time dealing with what they had just seen unfold in front of them. Surely, if Jesus was the Son of God, he would have come down from the cross. So you don't need to live in a modern scientific age to have doubt. Starting with poor old Thomas, doubt has been with us these past 2,000 years. In fact, it's probably true to say that doubt is part of our Christian tradition. Doubt is part of faith. Doubt is part of faith? That just sounds odd, doesn't it? Surely doubt and faith are opposites. Well, not really. Faith without doubt is empty faith. Faith without doubt is simply blind faith. Faith without doubt is faith untested. Few, if any of us, go through our lives without having our faith tested. Sometimes tragic events can lead us to doubt, just as it was for the people in the crowd that Peter was addressing. Sometimes doubt can bubble up almost unnoticed until someday we realize that something has gone wrong and we feel lost. Sometimes doubt can spring from the most unlikely of sources. I, for one, have found doubt welling up from a very unlikely source, my fellow Christians. I've sometimes found myself listening to someone talk or watching them act. And as I do this, I say to myself, wow, look at so-and-so. They must be true in faith. They seem to have no doubt. They must be a better Christian than I am. And the doubt starts. I'll try ignoring it. I'll try setting it aside and hope that the doubts will go away. It doesn't work. I've held my tongue on occasions, refraining from expressing a concern or a doubt for fear of being thought a lesser Christian than I might like. But we shouldn't try. We can't ignore our doubts. Trying to ignore doubt is impossible. Well, we can try. We can stick it away in the back of our minds and hope it doesn't interrupt us again. The problem is, it doesn't work. Like the unfinished task we've shoved away in a drawer somewhere, it might be out of sight, but it's not out of mind. Instead, we should embrace our doubts, express them, be honest about them. Let's take a leaf out of Thomas's book. Let's be honest about what we believe and where we doubt. Thomas wasn't a bad Christian after all, nor was he a lukewarm Christian. Once Thomas saw Jesus and overcame his doubt, he proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." If he had suppressed his concerns, do you think his response would have been so enthusiastic, and the rest of his ministry as an apostle as great as it was? Or do you think Thomas might have spent the rest of his life with this little nagging question in the back of his mind? On dealing with doubt, the writer and theologian William Barclay expressed this very well. He wrote, "The cure for doubt is not to push a thing into the back of the mind and refuse to think about it. The cure for doubt is to think of a way through the doubts. We would have a faith that would be more secure if we did not turn back from thinking too soon." To Barclay's thinking, I would add scripture and prayer. When the going gets tough, we need not retreat from doubt, need not retreat from thought, from scripture, from prayer. This will make our doubts worse. Instead, we need to dig in, think things through, pray for guidance, look for inspiration in the world, in the Word. Keep the faith and keep going. Even when you are not sure where you are going or how you will get there. Those physicists at the Large Hadron Collider do have faith. They've been at this for nearly 50 years, and if something goes wrong in the next few months, they'll be at it for another 50 years. But they'll keep going, and so should we. One of the best ways I've heard this put was in a song that was recorded by an Afro-Caribbean group, Osibisa, back in the 1970s. It's a song called Woyaya. And Art Garfunkel re-recorded it recently. Speaking the lyrics of songs never quite does justice to the song, but I'll have a go anyway. I think they're beautiful, and they're simple. We are going. Heaven knows where we are going. We'll know we're there. We will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. we know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. Amen.